May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There are certain things which we would prefer not to talk about, things that don't make good conversation at dinner time, things like sex or politics or religion, of course. But I rather suspect that beyond those conversational no-goes, the champion of them all is death and dying. Death is rarely something we deal with well. We tend to want to deny it or ignore it or avoid it. Death is often simply too much. This past year, we have had to live under the shadow of death. Our restrictions and lockdowns are to keep people alive, but the cost has still been huge. For many of us, the numbers of COVID deaths are hard for us to grapple with. Sometimes it's easier just to shut it all out. Sometimes a death provides something we do talk about. There are points in our recent history which have seen huge outpourings of grief on an international and national level. For example, when Princess Diana died, or George Floyd, and of course most recently Sarah Everard. Many of these deaths have driven us to gather momentum to fight against injustice or the circumstances of their deaths. And the grief and anger has led to cries for justice and action. I'm always mindful in these situations that there are many others whose violent or untimely deaths have gone without the same fanfares. I wonder why that is. This week in our church, we will be laying Carl to rest. And it feels agonising to have to say goodbye to one of our very much treasured church family. You don't need me to tell you that the death of our loved ones, the death of Carl, is utterly visceral and painful for us. Alongside the death of other people, our own death is also scary. So much so that we have an obsession with staying young and a hugely profiting beauty business which just has to mention age-defying to sell its products at a high price. And beyond the death of our bodies, we also struggle with other losses in our lives. Things like relationship breakups or a lost position or a feeling of status that's gone or lost health. These are things we find really difficult, and generally they aren't great topics of dinner party conversation either. They are difficult, but they are made even harder as we exist in a culture which is obsessed with the promotion of being happy, feeling good, avoiding difficult realities, the kind of culture that likes to airbrush things and make it look rather glossy and lovely. No one wants to think about or talk about difficult things, and especially death and dying. But Christianity bucks the trend. We hear about death an awful lot. In fact, we have to engage with it and live it in some way. Following Jesus means participating in not only the life of Jesus, but also his death and then his resurrection. Our gospel reading this morning, we hear Jesus saying, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Unlike polite society, Jesus demands us to look death in the face. Jesus puts the spotlight on dying and its spiritual significance. When we come to Holy Week and Easter, we remember that death comes first. It never surprises me that we have more people for Easter Day than Good Friday. It's just so difficult for us to sit with the misery. But it was the pain and fear and loneliness of death that Jesus chose to share with us. There isn't a single part of our thinking about death that Jesus cannot understand because he goes there with us. He was there before us. And the greatest of all mysteries is that Jesus showed that the way to true life is with him and through his death. To the extent we avoid death, we also avoid life. We avoid our true living. I think that there is a relationship with our fear of dying and perhaps our fear to be fully alive. The fear and avoidance of death can be what lies underneath our other fears. What if I fail or lose or look stupid? What if I get hurt? What if things don't go the way I want them to? What if I lose the person I most need and love? Can you see that these fears are very similar to the reservations people sometimes say are preventing them from trusting Jesus? If we pay attention to our anxieties and fears, we can be inhibited from being fully alive, and this separates and isolates us from truly living with God, one another, and ourselves. By glossing over the difficult bits, we will be stopped from bearing fruit. Jesus calls us to be that grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies, because it is in the dying that we have the potential to bear much fruit. It's in the total surrender and dying that new life can emerge. There are many things which need to die in our church and society. The death of unkindness, the death of prejudice, the death of hate, the death of mean-spiritedness, the death of self-centeredness. And all of these deaths, of course, will bear much fruit. Now, please don't think that I'm saying we should be blasé about death. We do not deny the pain and fear. Jesus did not deny any of the fear and horror of death. He wept in the presence of death and was angry in the face of death and was fearful in the face of death. We know the impact that death has in our lives and society and in the world. I am saying that we should and we can face up to thinking and talking about death, and in doing so, find a way to be truly alive and fruitful. Despite the struggles and the brokenness, we have hope that God's love has the power to heal, to resurrect, and to enable human flourishing. We have the power in God's love to bear much fruit. Amen.